Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
The last that was read.
Okay. So, unless there are amendments, can we agree that we're going to adopt the language as read of 12.0?
With the shorter version, correct?
That last paragraph.
Of that line
mm-hmm.
in the last paragraph.
Yeah.
Yeah, these proposals for new programs.
Right.
A budget, when appropriate, shall be brought to the PMB Programming Committee for review to assure that network and local needs are met.
Yep.
If supplemental funds are required for such new national programming, the request will be forwarded to the Finance Committee. Yes. Okay?
That may be the supplemental funds part may be overkill, but I don't mind.
Okay.
Okay, so if we don't have anything else to discuss with that, if there's no objections, we'll adopt that by acclamation. And that takes me now.
Oh, God, I can't believe it.
What? Rip the lid off the. Okay, I'd like to talk briefly about Section 3, the licensing and distribution. I think we're going to have a special discussion about this. But I'm not sure that we're prepared to have that discussion at this point. And the feeling that I have from having had a discussion with a number of members of the committee about this is that we should have a little group that tries to identify what some of the key issues are that people feel concerned about, and try to see if there are some ways that we can make language more flexible, but also to try to reach out to some of the constituencies that we think need to, whose views need to be canvassed. So basically what I'm thinking is if we could put together a special working group within the next month or so, that we could report back before that time to this committee. And by a working group, I don't mean that somebody's going to be excluded, but I'm saying let's try to make it fewer rather than more members of the committee. Does everyone feel that that's something that we have an interest in doing or not?
Let me just get a point of clarification if I may. When you say a working group,
Davis, yes.
Thank you. I just started talking before you gave me permission. But when you say a working group to report back to
this body
by the next, you mean that? To have discussed all
well, hopefully we can have a discussion within a couple of weeks and come to some conclusions about some things.
Okay, because I'm just all for the working. I am for the working group, but realistically speaking, I don't think the issues will be resolved by the next meeting. But I am for the working group.
Well, our next meeting is not until September the 21st or something like that.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I tell a lie. September the 18th, Monday.
I'll still say I'm not hopeful that it will be resolved, but I'm just saying, but I am for the working group. I mean, of course, we can go for that, but just realistically speaking. I mean, we can go for that deadline, but realistically speaking, I think it will take longer.
Okay. Does anyone have an alternative suggestion about this issue?
No, Rob, I like the sound of it, working group.
As opposed to a sleeping group or a drinking group or...
Rob, this is Bonnie, when you have a chance.
Yes, Bonnie, go ahead.
I'm all for the working group, although personally I know that I'm up to my neck in alligators at this point with my schedule. I do think that you need to have ready for this working group to make any sense a legal opinion from Pacifico's attorneys on unpaid staff.
An opinion about what? Bonnie?
About their material.
The rights of.
They're not defined right now, Bonnie. I mean, I've talked to the attorney about that, and the rights are not defined right now. What we're not trying to do in this policy, we're absolutely not trying to do in the policy, is define issues that currently have not been defined by the network. We realize that those may be controversies, but we can't solve those controversies within the context of setting this policy. What we can say is that they do need to be resolved so that we can distribute our programming. But we do not have a legal instrument right now that we're giving to a legal counsel and saying, is this the policy, is this the licensing instrument that we should use? We don't have that right now. And we're not proposing that. What we're doing is we're trying to say that there will be a policy set that these things will be done. The attorney basically said, I can't review any agreements that haven't been made yet. But if you set a policy that says that there should be these agreements, then I can start reviewing them. But right now there's not a policy that says that, so I can't begin reviewing agreements that don't exist and where there's no policy that says that there should be.
Rob, this is Sarf.
Yes, Sarf.
This working group that you're suggesting,
it
will talk to various producers of the programmers and paid and unpaid producers and so on, and kind of feel them out, what they think, what their rights that they would like protected, so they could be later on incorporated into when we have the definition of this policy.
Absolutely, yeah. The purpose of this group and the purpose of the policy is not to mediate those issues at this point. At present, there are no, as far as I know, according to the executive director, there are no collective bargaining agreements that define the ownership rights of, for example, of unpaid staff over programming that they produce.
But they have some understandings that have been established over a period of time or something. So we need to take...
They may indeed. But my sense is that what we're going to find, Sarv, is that none of that stuff has been written down.
Oh, I understand.
Okay. And the point is that what we're trying to do is we're trying to say the policy should be that we distribute as programming as widely as possible using licensing and digital distribution means. And we think that doing that is going to be in the best interest both of the producers and the staff, whether they're paid or unpaid, and of the network. But it's not going to be if it doesn't get distributed.
So taking into consideration their rights and...
I don't think these rights have been defined up to now. I don't think they've been negotiated. I don't think that's clear. I do think that those things should be clear. But what we're not trying to do now is to say those rights are X.
Yeah.
What we're trying to do is saying we want to set a policy so that these things can take place. That it's very important that people understand that distinction.
And they have to be developed in collaboration with the paid and unpaid producers so that everybody's on the same page.
Yeah, but I mean, for example, people have literally told me that this policy or the language in this draft policy prevents people from seeking outside employment. It does not. There's no way that it does. But those are issues that deal with conflicts that exist someplace within the network. And we can't untangle those conflicts within the context of setting a policy. What we can say is we're going to set a policy that says we're going to make, you know, we're going to make these roads straight. So,
are we right now just trying to decide if we're going to form this working group?
That's all we're trying to do, Sharna. Yes, thank you for bringing us back to reality.
We form a working group to come back.
So do we have some volunteers for the group?
You know, the best people would be the ones that are at the stations. Near the programmers and so on.
Rob, it's Alan Nancy.
Hey, Alan.
Hey, yeah. Rob, I've been listening in for a while, and I will not be able to do this because I'm just overloaded. I have about a meeting tonight. But I do want to...
do you have any advice for us?
No, I just heard what the last person said, so I bounced in. But I do know that people mentioned unpaid producers. I also think it's very important to try to engage the archives in this discussion.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be good. I just wanted to make sure you had that. Okay.
Right. I was going to say, I think that the working group should include, you know, like maybe program directors or like represent, you know, staff from the stations, you know, paid and unpaid, especially on this issue.
I think we can talk to all those people. I if we try to include them in the group, we probably won't have a meeting until December.
I've got just a working group right now, including the coordinate. I mean, including us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the group is going to have to basically consist of us, and if we can get some staff people to participate, that would be great. But in the past, our attempts to involve general managers and PDs have not been, you know, big successes. So I think we have to have low standards.
Well, in my understanding, that Rob, what you're suggesting is that a couple people from this committee,
mm-hmm.
and I guess Dave Adelson.
Yeah, we'd like to get Dave involved.
Be part of a working group that, among other things, maybe at each of their stations, talks to the PDs and both paid and unpaid staff.
Mm-hmm.
To then try and hammer out.
Not necessarily to everyone that falls into those categories, but that we touch base with people. Yep.
And I thought earlier when we were having all these discussions about 3.0 that it was Bonnie and Serene and Lisa and you who were, you know, particularly seemed to have a handle and were interested in this.
Well, I'm not sure that's the case. So who from KPFK, KPFA is interested in participating?
Well, obviously I'm interested, and I'm the one that seems to be struggling the most with this.
Uh-huh.
I think that it is really important to get some people that actually are at the radio stations within this working group. I also think that, look, we tried to talk about this 4 or 5 times, and somehow I'm not hearing from the people that may have actually thought about this licensing and digital stuff further, so that I'm not getting a clear picture of what you're trying to get at with this. So,
okay, who would you like to involve at the stations, Bonnie? Who are some of the people? Give me some names.
I don't know. I guess we should start with program directors, and maybe they can tell us who at their stations might make sense.
Okay. Have you got a number for Vinnie Beecham?
Yeah, it's the station number.
I don't want to give anything out on the call.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Right. Why don't you send me his number, and I'll talk to him. What about KPFK?
Well, Armando is going to be out on sick leave for a month. And I don't know. I'm not sure who we can talk to.
Okay.
I'll talk to Alan just to get some of his ideas about. But I think the thing to do with KPFK is that we need to just have Dave kind of representing us.
Okay.
Kimberly, what do you think? I think we lost Kimberly.
Can I just say something about myself? Because
please,
this is
Lisa. Yes.
This is something that definitely I'm interested, and I can just see where this is an issue that so many things have come up. But having said that, as a listener, I'm rarely at the station. I mean, a lot of things that I'm learning myself in terms of how things work, and I think that this particular, and not to sound like a cop-out, but I am very overstretched as it is, but even more so for this particular group, I think you really need to have people who work it, who know the issues, and certainly who, I mean, if we're going to be talking to people at the station and staff and all of that, then you really need to have somebody, I think, at the station, and I'm not at the station that much at all.
Okay.
So that's one reason why I'm not, you know. Serene is not on the call, and I guess I will ask Serene.
Okay.
And I'll do my best, you know, if we're going to, you know, ask the program directors for ideas or something, if I
mm-hmm.
I will try to do that. I can say that.
Okay, that would be great. But, I mean, we really will try to work with the station staff, the GMs and the PDs, but that may take a lot of calling. What I want to be clear about is for KPFK, we want David. If, you know, KPFT, is Lisa there? Lisa Welsh? Okay, so we've lost our KPFT link for WBAI. Is Steve there? So, Lisa, you're going to be our point of contact, like it or not, and I'll be the point of contact for WPFW. Okay, so we've handled that, and we will. I will try to speak with the station staff to get them engaged. And actually, Sarv, if you could hang on with me for a minute afterwards.
Sure.
There are a couple of phone numbers you could help me get. So that takes us down to the second item of licensing and distribution. And then Sherna wanted to make a motion about the issue of non-participation of committee members.
Yeah, we had all discussed this before. We went on the call. And I would like to move that we request that the chair of the WPFW LSV ascertain if the two other members of this committee from that signal area intend to participate, and if not, if that the chair would kindly replace them with active members. Or with members who will actively participate in the committee.
Sherna?
I don't have it written down, so I hope someone...
Yeah, I got it. Okay.
Rob, this Arf.
Yeah.
Is it possible that, if a lot of these committees, usually the directors from that area, they can talk to the chair and say, hey, these two guys are not showing up, and could we do it today?
I've done that.
And no action? Any response from them?
They haven't shown up.
Can I just say... So this
yes, Lisa, what?
Say, it doesn't take... I think, because we're talking about a policy, I would say in general, when we have this situation, because there are various reasons why people might not be able to make the calls or whatever, so I would just say so it doesn't sound like it's just necessarily signaling one, but just to say in general that this should be something that we should do. When if we have a series of people are not, for whatever reason, able to make the meeting or not, and that, not communicating such, and also that, so I just want to add that to it.
I'm not really sure what point you're making.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I'm not sure what point you're making.
Oh, neither am I. I thought I was making a point. I was just trying to say
the problem is,
policy.
This certificate, and we have people that want to run for office, and then they don't want to do the work. And unfortunately, these are very embarrassing situations. So, Sarv, what did you want us to do specifically?
Oh, I was saying this. The directors from that area, if they can, bring to bear some pressure at the local LSBs.
Well, yeah, the reality is the LSBs need to discipline their members about stuff like this. I can't do it, and none of the members of the committee can. And Lisa, it would be unfair for us to expect you to go back to your LSB. And basically say we have members that are that are not representing us well, please blah 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 blah. The reality is that the rules are very clear in the bylaws that if people don't request absences, that they get dropped. There probably is a better way to handle it, but unfortunately, asking members of the committees that are doing the work, to go and try to cajole people into doing the work is very, very hard. That just doesn't work.
I just understand I'm not against the policy, but I was I didn't want to sound like it was just signaling. Signaling out one particular, but like say we have this policy.
No, I understand. I don't think anybody's trying to signal folks out. It's just that we're having, we got some people that show up all the time.
Right,
Bonnie
right.
is always on the call. Sarv is always on the calls. Sherna is always on the calls. You're always on the calls. Other people ain't. And that makes it hard for us when we can't get quorum.
So. And I'm in agreement. So I would just say that, in terms of implementing that policy and maybe, you know, like doing a final reach out to these people one more time to find out, are you going to, I would recommend by phone, or like you said, maybe presenting it to the various LSV chairs, just say, please ask them their attention. They haven't, but if they don't come to another meeting or they miss another inexcused meeting, then this is what will happen. So something like that.
And I just need to make it clear that they haven't been on a single call.
No, they haven't.
Right.
But folks, I just sent our policy to all.
Okay. The last item, and I'm not really sure we're going to have time to discuss it now, but as many of you know, the International Spanish Language Broadcast has been produced by KPFK. It's an outgrowth of a very successful show, Pueblas Sin Fronteras, produced by Fernando Velasquez, and it was mandated by the board in the race and nationality proposals that were passed a year and a half ago in January of 2005. This committee actually had a conference call with Eva Georgia in May of 2005 and talked about how the thing was going to be put together, and we talked about implementation. And she said the thing that she needed most was for the committee, the programming committee, to have a conference call in which she and the executive director and the other general managers and program directors could talk about how this would be implemented so there would not be confusion, there would not be opposition. We did that. We requested that in writing. We brought it up at the board meeting in June of 2005 that took place in Berkeley. Sarb was there. A number of you were there. And we wrote to the executive director. We wrote to the executive director again in August. We raised it again at the meeting in October. We haven't had that meeting, and as a result, I mean, not as a result, but now we have, the program is in production, but the only station that's carrying it is KPFK, the home station. And as a result, one of the things that the executive director and the chair of the board, David Adelson, discussed was whether or not the programming committee wanted to do anything or, you know, take a position or take a look at this issue in more detail. So that perhaps is not a good introduction, but is this an item that the committee would like to discuss at greater length, either tonight or subsequently?
I don't know that we have time at this point, but kind of to address both what happened here as well as what happened with the Katrina broadcast that was supposed to be carried by all the stations, I would like us to discuss, and I don't think we have time anymore tonight, we've lost a lot of people at this point too, but the idea of recommending that every station have a 1 hour a week open slot for possible network or national programming or emergency, you know, like hearings, etc. So that and if there's nothing that comes up, then it's not going to be used for that. It be used however the station, you know, wants to use it for local things. Mm-hmm. But my concern here is, you know, as someone who has really advocated strenuously for unpaid programmers, who are the ones that are constantly preempted, that if there's something like that, it means that there's a kind of openness for testing out programs, that what we talked about earlier, that may be broadcast on one of the other stations, for testing it out, for introducing something that comes up, like this Katrina special. And that then the programmers are protected from last minute, or by and large, not totally, but it helps to protect programmers from last minute preemptions.
Mm-hmm.
Or very often the same programs at KPFK. I mean, we've developed a complaint policy on this for unpaid programmers during fund drives now, but very often it's the same programmers that are preempted pretty regularly, because of the particular time slot they have. So, you know, as I say, I don't think we can discuss it now. I don't think enough folks are still on the call. But I would like us to discuss that as a way to, you know, start testing things out, for one thing. And I'm not talking about, you know, the kind of national programming or network programming that we've been discussing in our policy, but rather, you know, someone earlier in the call said, you know, test something out that one of the stations has that seems to be really good. You've got, you know, don't have people in your area that have the expertise or the experience on a particular topic. You test someone else's out, et cetera. So I kind of like to put it on the agenda, and it won't help us immediately with the issue of the international Spanish language newscast, but it does start to create some kind of mechanism.
And I would just also like to say, because I am for having a conversation, but not at 10:39,
right.
Standard time. Let me emphasize that. But I think that we should have a conversation pertaining to what's happening with the Spanish language programming. But I think that to have that conversation, that we should include the program directors or maybe the GMs too, you know, and to have just to kind of like, you know, here, I think they have to be a part of that discussion.
I agree.
Because we can sit here and think about why, but I think they have to be a part of the discussion on this issue. If we want to find out why it's not happening the way we want it to.
Do you want me to try to schedule a discussion in which no business is conducted, but which a discussion takes place with the GMs and PDs?
Yeah, I think that would be good.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I have heard various, like I haven't heard anybody just, you know, for the record, I haven't heard anybody say that they are against doing this, but there's just all kind of issues that have come up in logistics around it. So, you know, I have not heard anybody, any PD or GM say that they are against the program, but there's just other issues that have arisen around it.
I don't think
it.
You will.
Right. But I'm just saying in general, I just have to go for the record.
Okay.
Point of information.
Yeah, Serene?
Yeah, are you referring to the Spanish language news or the elections program?
Yeah, no,
the Spanish language program.
Okay.
Rob, this is Sarv.
Yes, Sarv.
You know, I love the idea of the Spanish language program, and I fully support it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way for a guy like me who's not bilingual to listen to it somewhere where I can, short of learning Spanish, which I should learn, but I don't know now, to listen to it so that I can also know the content of
That's a great question, Sarv. And you should be able to. And that's one of the issues that we should be talking about. The answer is no. As far as I know, there is not a way for you to do that. But there should be.
And I'll just say I know is one of the things that I've, one of the concerns that I've heard expressed that, you know, if other people want to listen to it, they should be able to listen to it, who do not speak the language. So.
Well, can I say something to this?
Of course you can.
You know, the idea is that it is a Spanish language broadcast, not that we should. I mean, many of us really would like to see interlingual. There aren't a whole lot of people who do interlingual well. For those of you at KTFA, the person who I thought was incredible was Chuy Varela doing interlingual.
Yeah.
So if you were a Spanish speaker, you understood him, and if you were an English-only speaker, you understood him.
Right.
But the point of this is we've got, and if you read the some of the recent articles on the way in which AM and regular old FM stations are quickly trying to accommodate the needs of minorities and Spanish language, you know, that what we're talking about with this program is really reaching a constituency. This is not to say that we shouldn't have international programming on Latin America that non-Spanish speakers can also listen to. But this has a very specific purpose. And it's part of building, you know, a Spanish and immigrant audience in Pacifica. So, you know, I would say, you know, I don't know how many of you may remember the Perspectives on the Americas that, from NACLA used to do out of WBAI. And that was broadcast on KPFA, I forgot what night of the week, or on Sunday. Yeah. It was a great program. And we need that program again for those of us who are not fluent in Spanish.
I'd like to add something. Go ahead.
Attila, go ahead. What were you going to say?
What I can. Is that I also agree, I mean, there's such a large population of Spanish-speaking folks, but if there's a exclusively Spanish program, Spanish-language program on the air, it needs to be promoted within the Spanish-speaking community so that they know to tune in, because otherwise they may not tune in other times because it's all in English.
Well, you know, for instance, Attila at KPFK from 9 to 10:30 every weeknight, we have Spanish language programming produced by the Colectivo Radio Comunitaria. So, you know, this is other stations. I know KPFA has some Spanish language broadcast. I assume BAI does.
Does the community, Spanish language community, speaking community, know that that is on, and how are they?
Yeah, they
informed.
Do. And they call in during the fund drives and those programs and pledge.
Right, okay.
And so, you know, that is what's needed. At, you know, I think each of the signal areas, in fact, have pretty large Spanish-speaking audiences.
Yes.
May I speak, Rob?
Of course. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I actually want to say two things. Certainly Houston has a huge Spanish-speaking community. The Bay Area, New York, and Washington, D.C., too. But
unserved.
Quite. I would, though, agree with who was speaking before, Sherna. I actually think it was a weakness. I think that KPFK could have a even much more substantial audience. We have a model for implementation. We've had some great Spanish language programming, but I think that the outreach has been very faulty.
That's the key.
Yeah, and I think it's essential that we, as Pacifica hopefully will develop a positive model, maybe to propose to the stations with the implementation of the national show. I actually think KPFK should redouble their efforts at outreach, because this could be even much bigger than it is here.
I would agree, and everything that people just said, because everything is so, but just goes to show even more than it.
So maybe we can reconvene.
Yeah, and the GMs on the call, so we can really just have an honest conversation about this.
Well, maybe we can reconvene informally and have a good discussion with the PDs and the GMs about this. I will try to make that happen. I can't say that I won't ask some of you for help.
Rob, you can make anything happen.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Thank you, Rob.
How interesting.
Thank you, everyone.
I wish we were near an ATM. I would like to
bribe us all.
Yes, you can make it happen.
I just want to say thank you, Rob, for really being so persistent about the policy. I don't think
you
realize we just passed the programming policy. Except for 3.0.
Right. Are we done, Rob?
Which will mean to go to the executive board. I mean, the national board.
Yeah.
Okay, and I need to talk to Sarv a little bit. I don't care if anyone stays on. We're not going to talk about you know, sex or anything like that.
I'm going.
Then I'm not going. Then I'm not going.
Or rock and roll.
Okay. Good night, folks.
Good night, everybody, and enjoy the rest of the summer for what it's worth.
Thank you so much for hanging in. Everyone that stayed on the line.